The liberal left has made it their life's work to promote and celebrate homosexuality and transgenderism, and to force the rest of the world to accept and celebrate it too. It's truly amazing the power they've brought to bear in this one area alone. Despite the fact that such a minuscule percentage of the population identifies as homosexual or transgender, this is now all we seem to be capable of talking about. Surely there are more pressing issues: Islamic terrorism overtaking the world, a looming worldwide economic collapse, race wars, political and civil unrest, to name just a few. Yet the leftists ignore these very serious matters and focus all their attention instead on the sexual behaviors of less than 3% of the population who like to have sex with people of the same gender, and 0.3% of the population who believe in their imaginations they are really the opposite gender from what they actually are. This insanity has even overtaken the White House and Supreme Court, so that now their delusional perversions are forced upon the rest of the country under penalty of law. But friends, this really isn't about sex at all. It's about anarchy and chaos. It's about taking God's natural design and plan for mankind and turning it 180 degrees to the opposite, for the sole purpose of defying God and nature. In short, it is satanic delusion and demonic oppression. And to the liberal left, which I'm absolutely convinced is ruled by Satan himself, this campaign to normalize and pridefully celebrate all things LGBT has the added benefit of destroying several other foundational building blocks of a godly society: natural marriage, natural procreation and childbearing, and of course, the family. Once you've made speaking about God a crime, validated widespread mental disease, encouraged reckless and perverted sexual experimentation, especially among children and adolescents, rewritten the laws of nature so that men can now marry men and women can marry women, and the federal tyrants in charge use their power to force this upon the nation, you have essentially destroyed the country. It's that simple. Society cannot function properly once the family unit is destroyed. God's word makes certain things very plain and very simple. Some things we can and will debate, study, and argue over forever this side of heaven, but others there can be no dispute. Such is the case with gender. We were created by God, either male or female. Male and female made he them. Genesis 1:27, Genesis 5:2, Matthew 19:4, Mark 10:6. But even unbelievers can easily tell the difference and grasp the practicality of the nature of the complementary sexes. Not only is homosexual behavior physically unnatural and unseemly, it's also physically impossible for such a relationship to reproduce, and therefore they must steal the children of others. There are many, including a growing number in professing Christian churches, who will argue that people are born homosexual, that the tendency to be physically attracted to the same sex is, for some, beyond their control. God made me this way, they say. I was born this way, I can't help it, and now I'm finally free to come out of the closet, to live my life honestly, authentically, no longer denying who I really am. Such was the argument made recently by a member of a contemporary Christian rock band. This man had a wife and children and made his fortune singing modern praise and worship music. When he came out and announced that he was now embracing his homosexuality, many were there to praise him and call him heroic and courageous for accepting who he believes he truly is. According to the article I read about this, his wife has accepted his homosexuality too, continues to love him, and is celebrating his new authentic self along with him. But despite whatever spin they want to put on it, the truth is, this family has been destroyed. Mom and dad can be divorced and still get along, I suppose, still remain friends. But the fact remains that there will now come a time when this guy will begin dating men. If he embraces his homosexuality, as he said he intends to do, he will at some point start bringing home his boyfriends for his kids to meet. Society will call it normal. The public schools will teach the kids about diversity, equality, and acceptance of alternative lifestyles. And because they're professing Christians, the family will most likely attend a so-called open and affirming church that celebrates the homosexual lifestyle. The kids will probably even come to accept this as perfectly normal. Dad has a boyfriend. Or following the normal progression in today's new culture, dad has a husband. Call it what you want, this is not a normal family, and for these kids, their childhood has been forever devastated. Not only by divorce, but also by the sexual perversion and self-indulgence of their father. What's worse, everyone they know will likely embrace and affirm their father's lifestyle, too, giving it their blessing. Who's going to have the courage to tell him he's wrong? Who's going to have the integrity to tell these kids their dad has been deceived and is living in sin? Why, that would be judging, and we're not supposed to do that if we're real Christians. After all, we're all sinners, and sin is sin, so don't judge someone else just because their sin is different from your own, you hypocrite. This is the argument I hear every day now. Whenever I speak about these issues, inevitably, there are professing Christians waiting to tell me just how uncompassionate I am. But I have to ask, what's more compassionate? To go along with someone who is deceived and living a lifestyle that God calls an abomination, or to speak the truth and tell him what God's Word says about it? As I read the Bible, it's clear to me that the Apostle Paul would speak the truth. And since God saw fit to convey much of his New Testament through Paul, I think it would be a good thing for us to follow his example, even though it will be terribly unpopular. The demon of sexual perversion is nothing new. We're all familiar with Paul's teaching in Romans 1, but he had an equally strong message for the Corinthians. He begins chapter 6 of his first letter to the Corinthians by reminding his readers that the Lord's people will judge the world. And in verse 3 he writes, "Do you not know that we will judge angels? And how much more the things of this life?" Now isn't that interesting? Clearly, friends, despite what so many pop culture Christians will tell you, it's not just okay for us to make judgments on these matters, but we're supposed to judge, and judge righteously. How do we judge righteously? By using God's Word as our moral compass. Not our feelings, not the ever-changing culture, but God's holy, unchanging Word. Moving on in 1 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 9. "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Here we have a list of sins. Sexual immorality, which I assume is heterosexual immorality. It's listed separately from homosexuality to make it clear and obvious that both are sinful but distinctly different. Idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, stealing, greed, drunkenness, slander, dishonest cheaters. All sins. None who practice these things will inherit the kingdom of God. It can't be said any more plainly than that. And I can imagine that Paul's message here was not real popular in the city of Corinth. Even some who called themselves followers of Christ were guilty and lived these sins as lifestyles. Yet Paul did not hesitate to speak the truth for fear that he'd offend a listener or two. We can take a lesson from him on this, and so can our politically correct pastors. Here's the bottom line, folks. We're all born this way. Scripture tells us, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Because our first parents yielded to the temptation of the serpent and sinned in the garden, we are all born with a sinful nature. Psalm 51:5 tells us, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." We were born sinful creatures. These desires of the flesh are not all the same for everyone. We each have our own challenges. But just look at even a young child, barely old enough to walk. No one has to teach him to be envious, selfish, or greedy. Watch how he plays with the other child. He'll jealously desire the toy the other child has. When he's old enough to speak, he'll yell out, "Mine!" No, we don't need to teach the child to be selfish. We need to teach him to have self-control and loving kindness toward others, not embrace and celebrate his covetousness because he was born that way. As Romans 13 teaches, we need to learn to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That is what we must embrace. But no one seems to know this anymore because it's not taught anymore. Instead, we're taught self-indulgence and narcissism of the highest degree. Many will say that homosexuality is no different from other sins, and so no one should be able to speak about it or judge someone who is living that lifestyle. But you see, homosexuality is different. It's different because of the demonic spirit of pride and the violent use of force that goes along with it. We don't have adultery pride parades and celebrations. We don't have thief pride parades or slander festivals. But the demon of homosexuality demands worship. because it is so anti-God, it's so anti-nature, the exact and complete opposite of what God intended for His precious children, the ultimate in total corruption of body, mind, and soul. Satan loves this sin. He delights in shoving it in God's face, and thus we have these vile things they call pride parades, violence, force, and you will never see one ever without blatant blasphemous mockery of Jesus Christ. That happens at every homosexual pride event. It's standard, hatred of God. Now I ask you, if Jesus doesn't exist, if Christianity does not worship the one true God, as atheists will so violently profess, why then all the hatred and mockery of Jesus? You see, these things are just like the men who surrounded Lot's house in Sodom. It's the same demon, the same evil spirit of homosexuality that we're encountering today. We're all born with the innate desire to sin, and Satan knows which sins each of us are most susceptible to, and just how to tempt each of us the most. Even as believers, we can harbor these sins in our hearts, nurture them along, and play around with them. This is the delight of the unrepentant natural man. But when we also know who Jesus is, there's an awful conflict that tears at our souls. Satan and the world, and especially now our pop culture, tells us how our sinful desires are natural, normal, nothing to be ashamed of. The world says that we should embrace these feelings and accept them, celebrate them, indulge our instincts, and be authentic to ourselves. But friends, this is Satan talking, and he's a liar. God's Word says we should mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. Which do you think we should be listening to? There is hope, dear friends. The Apostle Paul listed off all those sins that'll keep us out of the kingdom, but then he added, "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." As Bible students and Bible-believing Christians, we must be so careful now in this evil, wicked culture to discern what is right and true and holy and what are simply the lies of the enemy. These lies are even seeping into the church. Scripture tells us that even those who claim the name of Christ can and will be deceived in these last days, and it's clear that many are. How deceived to think that this is how God would have us to live. As God's children, our job is to discern between good and evil, choose righteousness, and snatch as many as possible out of the devil's grasp, rescuing them from the flames. We can't do that if we never speak the truth. The Apostle Paul was courageous and bold in preaching God's word, even though the message was unpopular and countercultural. So much so, it landed him in prison. I dare say it won't be long now before our true preaching of God's word will yield the same results. But in these last evil days, we must do no less. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066. Or email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com and ask for message number 161.